Hi, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of Energy in Action. I'm your host, Stephanie, and thanks for joining us. Here on Energy in Action, we talk all things Mito and with people who are in the know about Mito. And you all know that I like to find a way to be involved in the world of rare disease, and I try to make a positive impact. So today, I'm having a discussion with Jake, a third-year medical student at Boston University who is recruiting patients as teachers. It's an incredible opportunity for our community to educate the medical community on what it's really like to be in our shoes. Hi, Jake. Thanks for joining us today on the Energy in Action podcast. Would you go ahead and just give all of our listeners just a little bit of background on yourself and how this all came to be?
Yes, absolutely. So I came to be in relation because I was a genetic counseling student and Mark Corson was my mentor and I just really took a passion in metabolism. So I just wanted to stay with VMP genetics.
Wow. Well, you picked a great mentor with Mark Corson. You probably couldn't get anyone better.
You couldn't.
Are you an official genetic counselor at this point or are you still in school?
No, I'm not. So currently I'm just doing freelance work for Mark as a genetic student.
Really? So you've taken this on full time?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. That is great to know. So let's tell everybody more about the patient teacher registry program and what that means and how people can get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. People can be involved by going to our registry page, which is at the VMP Genetics website under education drop-down menu. Yeah, they can be involved in any way. They can just speak out. If they want to speak out more about certain programs, about what they're involved in, how they want to be involved, patients, parents, anyone can be involved. So we want speakers.
And what is it that you're looking for in the speakers? Do you want people to tell their story of either having a rare disease or being a caregiver of a patient who has a rare disease?
Yes, both of those.
What happens with their stories after you collect all of this information?
Well, we hope to involve practitioners, nurse practitioners, nurses, students, GCs, genetic counselors, and MDs all across the board. So we hope to raise awareness for people that don't have that voice. So we want to raise that voice for anyone that doesn't have it.
Okay. So people will record their story with you, I'm assuming.
Yeah, with either myself or Mark Corson.
Okay. Wow. And then the two of you take that information and does it go out as a video to somebody? Like how are these stories utilized?
There's a catalog of videos if they record them, or they can submit them directly to VMP Genetics.
All right. And is there like an application that they have to apply?
No, not at all. It's just you can email it directly.
Wow. Okay. Without giving away personal information, what are some of the stories that you've been hearing from patients? And have you already started to kind of glean out a very common thread?
Yes. It feels like a lot of patients have not heard their stories told by anyone. And they end up in the emergency rooms with nurses and physicians who don't have their stories told. And that's what we want to change. And it breaks my heart because they really should be told.
This tool will then hopefully bring a awareness and an educational value out then to the practitioners so that when they do encounter patients in an emergency room setting, for say, if this won't be a foreign discussion, they'll have some recollection to say, I think I kind of heard something about this one time.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're aiming for. Like when they end up in the emergency room, you see them and they're like, oh, they've got the flu. And then it ends up being something else, which is what the something else is what we're aiming for.
Right.
So the doctor, you know, when you see, when you hear hoofbeats, you don't think horse, you think zebra. As they say.
Yes, as they say. What I like about this program is that, one, it definitely gives voice to a population of people who have definitely felt misunderstood, not heard, not valued. And I like that patients have the chance to put it in their own words and not a textbook definition of what it's like to have a fatty acid oxidation disorder. Because you can put it in a book and you can learn it from a book, but you really need to see it live and in person. on how that impacts either an individual and sometimes an entire family. And to have clinicians then all of a sudden know, okay, we need to rapidly respond to this crisis that we're seeing, or maybe we need to dig in and find more information, whether that's going out to Google or bringing in a colleague. But like you said, not just making those huge umbrella assumptions that, oh, this person has the flu. Nope, probably not the flu. Or if it is the flu, we need to treat it differently than the average patient. Am I following along correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly how we feel. When you see something in the emergency room, they assume that someone is an alcoholic and they just assume they need to rehydrate them. And then that's the worst thing you can do when someone's in metabolic crisis. And so that's exactly what we're aiming to prevent, to educate emergency room doctors. Like if they're in metabolic crisis, know what you need to do, but that's not what they need. That's not where they go. Metabolic crisis.
They go to the answer they see 8 times out of 10.
Yep.
And again, like you said, they're constantly hearing hoofbeats and thinking, oh, here comes another horse. But really they should just be kind of broadening that.
Yeah.
I know with us, we landed in the ER a few times. And as a parent, I say, well, we really need to start D5. And of course, everybody goes, no, that's not what we're going to start. It's like, okay, where's the letter? And you're digging through your files or looking through your phone now, trying to find your protocol letters to basically prove that at this exact moment, this parent knows more about the patient than the clinician does. And that definitely creates a level of animosity right there in the care world.
It does.
And what we need to have happen is that advocating for somebody isn't adversarial. It's making sure they get what's needed to be safe.
Absolutely.
I think your videos are really going to, or this whole program is really going to enlighten up-and-coming physicians on having more of a collaborative outlook or approach to a patient versus coming in with, I got the answers, I know what I'm doing, you need to sit down. Because sometimes that can put you into a life-threatening situation.
That puts down a lot of people, honestly.
Yeah, it does. It really does. So before we started recording, I was asking you some questions, and you told me that you have already had 164 people apply to tell their story, which I find amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
So out of those 164, like overall, like what's the vast majority of diagnoses that you're hearing about? Are you reaching out into the corners and finding the really ultra rares, or is it just like a core group of people or a core diagnosis that's, you know, jumping on this program?
It's honestly both. I just sorted out all of the fatty acid oxidation disorders versus mito disorders and everything in between, lysosomal disorders. So we're doing everything.
Wow. Okay.
But it's a lot.
It is a lot. What I find interesting for you, and I'm so excited that you and Dr. Corson are taking this on, is parents, like I never went to school to be a doctor or a nurse, and Lord help you if I ever decide to. I have a public health background. I can tell you all the reasons why you should wear your seatbelt and, you know, all kinds of public health matters. Learning the infinite details that you and Mark know about biochemistry and metabolic, how all of this works. And when the enzyme doesn't do this, then this is what happens. And the gene goes, and it all falls apart. I didn't want to know all that. I never wanted to know all that. My dad was a baker. I grew up just following the recipe, following the rules, you know, very simple things. You get a consistent reaction. And I've had to learn this, and I've had to learn it more than once. I've had to learn it with pictures. I've had to learn it with voice. I've had to learn it reading it to get it to sink in. And my kid is 21 years old, and it's hard. And so giving us the opportunity to kind of show off what we know and to record our stories and to put it truly into parent-patient or caregiver-patient words and voice is just an outstanding opportunity, because we may not be able to say all the syllables and know the exact route or terminology, but we know what needs to be done, and we know when it needs
exactly.
to be done.
Exactly. You know your experience.
Letting us do that is just powerful. Yeah, we know our experience, and we know what we don't want for an experience. Especially in today's world with social media, we've met all kinds of people in similar diagnosis groups now. And we hear their stories, we watch them on their journey, and you think, oof, I hope we're never in that boat.
And then you are.
And then all of a sudden you are, and you're like in frantic mode, trying to recall, what did they do? What did they do? And we're literally crowdsourcing how to treat rare disease patients. And I, as a mom, shouldn't have to reach out to my community and say, what do you guys recommend in this situation? And I've had to do that. And it's somewhat terrifying, but it's also very empowering to know that I have a textbook, so to speak, of resources that I can go to at least approach a conversation with our care team that says, we all know things aren't going in the right direction. Can we think about this? And here's why I think that. And to have the care team have knowledge of it, and to now be respectful of, this mom might know what she's talking about.
You definitely do. I mean, it sounds like you do. What do you do for your child healthcare? I know that's a big question.
Ted has a metabolic disorder, and he's kind of in that group of, we're not really sure what to do all the time because we don't always get that consistent reaction to what we do. So we've learned a few things. We've learned definitely hydration is good for him, but it has to be D10. Anything else is just a flood of nothing. So we know that. We know that he needs oxygen support. When things start going down, to keep things on a rapid decline, from rapidly declining, oxygen support right there. So those are things I know when we hit the emergency room. These are two things we need to do right away. Even if his pulse ox is saying, oh yeah, we're okay, we're in the 90s. I'm like, no, let's just put a little blow by on it because things are going to go down before we get that IV hooked up. So those are things that I know.
Just for people that would be listening, what's a blow by?
Oh, a blow by is just like, we just put like a small cannula or a mask, just right, not attached to his face, but just right on his face, just to kind of very low dose, I call it, oxygen.
Okay.
So that's what we do for Ted. And Ted also has a bleeding disorder. So if we ever land someplace where there's what looks like a really large amount of blood, first thing I always remind the staff is he is bleeding profusely. However, this looks worse than it is. So, you know, and then we kind of move on from there. I mean, it always looks like a massacre happened when really it wasn't. So it's just, you know, I'm always,
there's
like,
something to laugh about.
Trust me, he's just really liquidy.
So how has he been since COVID?
Oh, well, that is it. That's a great question. He just got his third booster shot. That went phenomenally well, considering shots 1 and 2 really took him down. Shot 3 wasn't nearly as catastrophic. We have kept him safe. He has not had COVID. Have we lived in a bubble? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do we wear masks everywhere?
Absolutely.
Minnesota's in the thick of it right now.
Heard,
so
yeah.
We're, you know, being super duper cautious. And we were just talking about this the other night on how last year was the second year in a row that Ted hasn't been hospitalized for a upper respiratory or lower respiratory issue. And I said, well, I think we know why. It's because we were all wearing masks and nobody was going anywhere. And I said, I think we all learned a really valuable social lesson here that masks work. Plain and simple. If you wear a mask and you go to Target or you go to the grocery store, you're less likely to pick up some unintended item. And I always used to say that when the kids were little, as, oh, we went to Target to get grapes and we came home with the flu, you know, because that's what happens, you know,
it does.
And that's not happening. So he's done, you know, even doing school online, just keeping him out of that petri dish of, you know, other students has just helped tremendously. So I think we are going to keep some of the practices we've learned kind of in our daily regimen on just how to be safe and how to stay healthy, because we've really enjoyed that aspect of things, of staying healthy.
And have things been turning up for your son or downward?
You know, that's a good question, because metabolic patients, as you know, they kind of ebb and flow, but sometimes a down spiral doesn't get you back to that previous baseline.
Right.
But we have had really good care and had some really great metabolic studies done. And now we have a list of pharmacological report that came out and said, these are medications you need to avoid. These are medications that you need to use with caution. These are medications that just aren't going to work. And surprisingly, there were quite a few things in all of those categories where we sat back with his team and said, how do we fix this? And since making those changes in the last 6 weeks, we have noticed a difference. And it's amazing. So it's all been really good. It's complicated. We just saw our geneticist this week to go over everything again. And she was 40-year veteran in the field. And she's like, oh, these new reports, you know, it's a lot of information. And, you know, she was kind of a little overwhelmed. We were all kind of hemming and hawing. But we realized that we got to keep up with the data that's coming out. We've all been yelling for more data, right? We want to know what our reports mean and say and how to put it into use. And here we are. And I can honestly say it's helping us. So I think that's an important piece to our story.
I do too. That's why I do what I do. What is the best combination formula that has worked best for you and your family?
As far as medications or just?
No, for medications, yeah.
He's definitely on the cocktail. Dr. Corson started him on in 2007. And back then it was still considered pixie dust. It's been on that. We have never deviated from that. But then just adding in maybe a different level of an antioxidant to that.
Really?
That's just been the key thing. And yeah, it's made a world of difference. And when he doesn't take it or when he doesn't take a piece of it because of some kind of, sometimes it's an insurance glitch, sometimes it's a pharmacy glitch, sometimes it's a mom forgot to restock glitch. But every now and again, we don't have the whole cocktail. And I always say to people, that's like trying to make a cake without the eggs. You know, if you want it to work, you got to have it all.
No, I get the saying. I totally get the saying.
I do think it works better if it's compounded specifically to what he needs. That's very helpful. And I think he agrees. So there is something to be said about compounding medicine. And I really wish our Medicare and Medicaid systems would come to terms with that kind of personalized medicine and probably a good thing. And maybe we should cover that in our plans. He's currently on Medicare and they don't cover anything compounded right now even if all the ingredients are FDA approved. The cocktail is not considered FDA approved, so it's not covered.
So which insurance company would you recommend to someone that doesn't have insurance, that can't get insurance?
Usually like United Healthcare and Blue Cross Blue Shield, they're probably some of the largest, and Kaiser Permanente that I've heard out on the West Coast when I work with patients. Those tend to be, they have more resources to at least assign a case manager to somebody to help kind of manage everything. And I think that's helpful.
Yeah, I do as well.
Now that I've kind of told our story and in the realm of what you're looking for.
Yeah, of course.
What's the main goal of, like, do you guys have a number of how many patient stories you want? Do you have a specific disease group that you're really looking for to like beef up the catalog with? What's the goal?
There's no goal. We are not funded by anybody at the moment. It's purely voluntary. We're not looking for a specific disease group or literally anybody that would apply is welcome. There's no fee. Fax in your application as long as you sign the application to make sure that it, you know, you are who you say you are, and that's it.
How our stories are being utilized is really shaping today's medical care process.
That's our hope.
Using our videos as a CME process or in a classroom, you know, a picture is 1,000 words, right? And you probably remember a story better if you see the people versus just reading about it.
Spot on.
That's what I think.
It's exactly what.
Spot on. So if you need anyone to help you with your program, let me know, because I'm 100% on board. I would love to sit and listen to everybody and go through the applications and help catalog it all together, because it's important work. And I know our community is excited about it when I've mentioned it. Yeah, it's very important.
Yeah.
So well, what's next for you when you're done with this program with Dr. Corson? You going back to GC world or are you staying in the research world?
No, I'm actually going to apply for grants. So we'll see. Hopefully applying for grants with Dr. Corson. But of course, that will be disclosed to everybody involved before it happens.
Okay. Wow. You've taken on a big endeavor. Good for you. Thanks for doing that.
I literally wouldn't do anything else in the world.
Wow. I love your level of dedication to this. And like I said, as a public health major, this would have terrified me in college. So good on you for taking it on.
I was a public health minor, so believe me, it terrifies me too.
All right. So you're a safety nut too.
Yep. Yeah, I did biochemistry, molecular biology minor, and then a public health minor as well at BU.
Wow. That's pretty diverse though. That's pretty right brain, left brain thinking, actually.
It is. It was challenging.
Yeah, I can see that. All right. Well, thank you again so much today for coming on our podcast. I will be pointing everybody over to the VMP Genetics website to check out the program. Click that very easy apply here button and fill out your application and send it in. And then you can have an opportunity to really tell the story of what it's like to live with a metabolic disorder and hopefully stop the catastrophes that keep happening all over in the ERs.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. It meant a lot to talk to you today. It truly did.
Great. Thank you. Well, thank you everyone for tuning into this week's episode of Energy in Action. As you can tell, I am over the moon supportive about the patient teacher registry program that VMP Genetics is sponsoring. I know Jake is very appreciative of everybody who has been submitting their stories and letting them know about life in the shoes of a metabolic patient. So head over to their website. It's V as in Victor, mpgenetics.com. And just go to their education tab and you'll see all the information you need to be a participant in this really great initiative. Also, if there's something else you want to learn about or know more about, just let us know. I'll be happy to bring you the content that's meaningful and helpful to you. You can just write into info@mitoaction.org and I will see that information. So, and just a last reminder, give us a 5-star rating on your listening app. This helps to boost us up the charts and that really, really does make a difference. So this is your host, Stephanie, Rare Mom Extraordinaire. Until next time.